a believer. It says you are a new creation. And I think this goes back to something that we say all the time when we do communion. When we do the wine or the grape juice, we say this is Christ's blood of the new covenant. Now, how many of you know what the new covenant is? Hands, maybe? The new covenant is Christ's relationship, or God's relationship to us through Christ. In the Old Testament, there are several covenants. There's the covenant that God made with Abraham. And that covenant said that God would bless the world through Abraham and his descendants. There's the covenant that God made with Moses and the Israelites. And that covenant said that the Jews would be God's people as long as they followed the law. There's the covenant that God made with David when he said, your line, your kingly, your line will never end. There will always be a king of David on the throne of Israel. And then we get into Jeremiah and Ezekiel. And Jeremiah says, I will make with you a new covenant. And this is what that covenant does. It writes the law on our hearts instead of on stone. It gives us, as Ezekiel says, a heart of flesh instead of a heart of stone, that we may know God. So when Jesus talks about a new creation, when Paul talks about a new creation here in this passage, he's talking about how we relate to God because of what is new in us. Because of this new covenant that we are part of as believers in Christ. The old, the heart of stone is gone. And in its place is a heart of flesh that God can write his law on. And that's what he does to us through the Holy Spirit. And then this passage talks about this idea of reconciliation. It says a couple of things. It says that God through Christ gave us the ministry of reconciliation. And we read in the next verse that God was reconciling the whole world to himself. And this is not just people, but God is reconciling all creation to himself. You see, when the fall happened, when sin entered the world, creation got the brunt of the curse. But God is working through humanity that knows Christ, to reconcile all things to himself. And that means that we have a job to do. That means that we have work to do. We are here, as it says down in verse 20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. So if you are a new creation, if you have a new heart, if you have been made new by God through Christ, you have this job of reconciliation, which is what Christ came to do, and now it's on us. So, we ask the question, who am I? Well, if you're a believer, you are a new creation. You have something to do. You're not defined by how you do it. You're not defined by what aspects of it you do. You are defined by the fact that you are in Christ. I'm going to read a couple other passages for us today. Passages that are part of creating an identity for us. Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14. You may know this passage. It says, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. So, we've talked about the new creation, but how about you as an individual? You were created in your mother's womb to be known by God. You were created in the process of putting you together. I don't know how many of you have seen ultrasounds, but they go from looking like little tadpoles to looking like full-on human beings. When you get an ultrasound of a baby at early stages, they don't really look that human. But as they grow, as they're formed, as their DNA shapes who they become physically, as God is knitting them together, they take on this human form. And let me tell you, with six kids, I can tell you, each of them is born with a personality. Each person is born an individual. And you, as a person, are fearfully and wonderfully made. You, every single one of you, none of you are a mistake. Every single person in this room is worthy and valuable to God and to this world because you exist. Not because of what you do, not because of what you love, not because of things that define you in those ways, but simply because you are a person. And that's something, that's a message that the world is sorely lacking right now. People are being told that their value depends on their identity and what they do and who they are and where they're from. But as Christians, we value everyone simply because they are. Because God tells us that every person is made in the image of God. And that image of God has value. So listen to me for a second. If you don't hear anything else today, when you ask the question, who am I? You must answer, I have value. Because there are a lot of people who don't know that. And I'll be honest. There have been times in my life where I struggled to know that. I will tell you a lot of my story over the time that we were together. But one of the things that I've struggled with for most of my life is depression and anxiety. And when depression and anxiety get a hold of your mind, they tell you you don't have value. They tell you that you're worthless. And it's important that we, as individuals and as a church, speak into that point of view to those people who are struggling with their value. That we tell people, not only do you have value, but because you are a person, you belong here. You belong here with us. So we're going to move on to Romans 8, verses 31 to 39. Paul is in the middle of a discourse. So the very first thing that he says is not going to make much sense to us. He asks a question, and we're not going to deal with the context of his question because he moves on pretty quickly. But he says, What then shall we say in response to these things? Well, he's going to tell us. If God is for us, who can be against us? And let me tell you, Christian, God is for you. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. You stand free. You stand justified. You stand, as we just read in 2 Corinthians, reconciled. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future or the past, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Who are we? Who am I? I am a conqueror. That doesn't mean I go out and I defeat people. Now, my daughter plays basketball, and I hope she defeats people. But I'm not about putting other people down to feel like I am more than them. That's not what this is saying. This is Paul talking to a bunch of people who had already been conquered. Paul is talking to people who were living in the Roman Empire, and most of the people he's talking to are not Roman citizens. They are a conquered people. So when Paul tells them that they are more than conquerors, he's not telling them they're going to go out and overthrow Rome. He's telling them what their identity is in Christ to all of these things that may come against them, even death. Death has no say in our lives anymore because Christ defeated death. So who are you? Well, if you're here, you are loved.
Amen.
If you're here, you're part of us. And we'll talk about that next time. We have a guest preacher next week. So on the next Sunday, I will be preaching about who are we. And we'll define that for ourselves as well. But who are you? I do care what you've done. I'm interested, as I've said before, in your story. But as far as loving you, that's not based on what you've done. It's not based on your race, your color, your religion, your sexuality. It's not based on your age or your gender. You are loved. And because you are loved by God, I will make every effort to love you as well. Jesus tells us to love our neighbors, but he also tells us to love our enemies. So I don't think it really matters how somebody identifies themselves, whether they're a neighbor or an enemy, or somewhere on that spectrum. We are to love them. You are loved. You are cherished. You have a voice, and you deserve to be heard.
Amen.
So today, I ask you the question again. Who are you? Who am I? I'm a son. I'm a husband. I'm a father. But I'm also a child of God. I've been made in the image of God, and I have value. And so do you.
Amen.
What are you going to do with this knowledge? Because what you're supposed to do is take it in, let it get to the core of your depth that you are loved and cherished. And then you turn around and you give it away. Because that's what Jesus did. Jesus came to this world knowing exactly who he was. And he gave it all away. He used his identity to serve and to help. Are we going to be about that as well? I hope so. We're going to enter our time of invitation. And if you've never been saved before, if you've never followed Christ, I would love to have a conversation with you about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And if you've never been baptized, we have a beautiful baptistry back here. I'd love to dunk you in it. I'd love to talk with you about what that means. Why we do that. It's kind of weird. Just like communion. Let's be honest. Those things are different. They're not normal things to do. But they have a story. And they have a purpose. And I'd love to talk with you about those purposes.
Amen.
And if you are looking for a new church home, I would love to talk with you about making First Baptist Church of Greenville your church home. I'll be around after church if you just want to chat. I'll be here. I'm here during the week if you want to stop by and see me. Now, I try to keep normal office hours, but meetings and things all get all over the place. And I have doctor's appointments too. So if you'll call me and let me know, I'll make a point to meet with you, just to chat, hear your story, hear what's going on with you and how we can pray for you. But whatever is on your heart, please feel free to come forward or to talk with me after church or to talk with any one of our other members here, because we all love you and we're here to help. Amen.